All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, a bunch of NXT releases, breaking news in professional wrestling, new matches added for SummerSlam, and we'll go over what happened tonight on SmackDown. Let's get into it. Yes, we're live. What's up, Johnny? Uh-oh. I don't hear Johnny. Hold on a second, Johnny. I'm not hearing you. Where'd Johnny go? Hold on a second. Talk to me, Johnny.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. What's up, buddy?
Good. Well, I said tonight sucked. Tonight was a bad show. So, yeah. I'm going to put us right in the negative right away. This was a bad show. Felt like they barely cared tonight. Just, you know, let's get these SummerSlam matches announced. That was it. It was just poorly booked tonight.
Yeah, it was not a good SummerSlam setup show. Yeah, it wasn't anything special tonight. It was really a weak effort from WWE. Like, overall, it was a very boring episode of SmackDown. Nothing happened tonight. Nothing.
And the crowd showed it, too. The crowd showed it by not being alive pretty much for a lot of it because they really shouldn't have been. It wasn't really exciting whatsoever.
Yeah, there was nothing to get excited about, nothing that happened. I mean, the main event, they were chanting for John Cena. Cena didn't even come out. They don't even get John Cena, you know?
Well, his movie came out today. That's why.
Yeah. He's too busy. He's too busy.
When you booked that.
Finn Balor at least called out John Cena. It seems like they'll never do Finn versus Cena, even though they probably should. Because Cena stole Finn's title shot last week. Which is just so ridiculous that they did it that way and they're just running with it. Last week, Finn was supposed to sign the contract to wrestle Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, but Baron Corbin attacked Finn, and then Corbin was going to sign the contract, so Cena came to stop that, and he signs the contract, and for some reason it's now binding, and Cena will face Reigns at SummerSlam for the Universal title. Even though you saw Paul Heyman tonight poke holes in the whole story saying, you know, Tom Brady signed for the Tampa Bucks, talked about Brady because they were in Tampa. He's like, you know, he signs a $70 million contract with the Bucks. If I come up behind Tom Brady and hit him with a golf club and I sign the contract, do I get $70 million? No, I don't. So why does John Cena get the title match? Yeah, he goes to prison, exactly. Except here, John Cena gets a title match. It doesn't really makes sense, but I'm willing to suspend the disbelief because it's WWE and who cares. But when they're on their own show the next week poking holes into their own stories, it's like they don't even believe their nonsense. They're not even buying into it.
Well, we can somewhat buy into this because Adam Pearce was like, well, I'll allow it. That's what he said last week. And he's like the official, right? He's pretty much the GM of Raw and SmackDown. So if he allows it, it's ridiculous, but he's kind of like the boss of the show. So whatever he says goes. It's stupid, but that's what they're going with.
Don't just blame Adam Pearce. Don't forget about Sonya Deville. She has some culpability here in this situation. She's also in charge. You can't just blame old Pearcey. What about Sonya?
Well, the words came out of his mouth, not hers, so okay. It felt like she didn't really have much say in this one.
Well, I wish I had a say in tonight's SmackDown. I think we would have been much better off had I been booking things. I think anybody booking things. A monkey on a rock booking this would have been better. I don't know who they have writing this stuff. I don't know how this show was concocted, but it was very half-baked and very, like, nothing's happened here. Nothing has progressed. We are right back where we started with everything. Nothing progressed. Nothing changed. We made a couple of matches that you knew were going to happen. nothing really happened tonight on SmackDown. We watched 2 hours of professional wrestling. We didn't see any matches that were particularly good. We didn't see any promos that were particularly interesting. And a story or two, nothing went anywhere.
What well, you we start watch? Off distraction finish, DQ finish, distraction finish, then a squash for the main event. Like, nothing really exciting to watch whatsoever. Plus, all the matches, it's either like a rematch or it barely even lasts like a minute. So it's really hard to really get involved in any of the wrestling. As I've said before in the past, the wrestling is like the last thing you should really like get involved into because they don't really seem to care about it that much. It's more about the talking. It's more about, you know, what you missed the last couple of weeks. And that's pretty much it. The hype for what's for SummerSlam.
But that's what Raw used to be. Raw used to be the talk show and SmackDown used to be the action show. But these days, mm-hmm. Raw is the action show and SmackDown is the talk show. Like, Raw this week, I don't know if you saw it, but I recapped Raw as we do every week on the Ringside Report Network. Two tremendous matches. Charlotte Flair and Nikki Ash was pay-per-view quality. We had a clean finish. Nikki won. Great match. No problem with the finish. No problem with anything that happened. The match was fantastic. And Rhea Ripley wrestled Nia Jax. Nia was busted wide open in the match. Fantastic match on Raw. The finish was a little, you know, not great. But overall, Monday Night Raw was very good this week on the strength of those two matches. Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley are, like, pushing each other. Rhea has a kick-ass match with Nia, and she's, like, top that. And then Charlotte goes out with Nikki Cross, and, you know, she tops it. Tremendous main event on Raw this week. You compare that to SmackDown. Bob Cote in the chat.
Exciting.
Bob Cote says, I found Raw better than SmackDown. Yeah, Raw was better than SmackDown. Shout out to Doug Hepburn. Shout out to Franco316 as well in the chat. Members of the team, don't forget to join. Click that join button. Alex Tarris says he loves us. Thank you, Alex. Lauren Cronish in the chat as well. Thank you for watching, everybody. Everybody tuning in tonight. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like night and day. Like, you talk about how Raw had two good women's matches. I felt the two women matches tonight really, like, brought the show down quite a bit. They were absolutely atrocious matches. I don't know what you thought, but especially, actually, I thought Zelina Vega versus Bianca Belair, that may have been one of the worst women matches we've seen on SmackDown. And, again, Tamina's had some bad matches, too. She didn't have a very good match tonight, but at least it was, like, barely a minute, so it was hard to really criticize much of it. But that, oof, that was bad. Like, I don't really get with the whole Zelina Vega thing. I mean, I guess she's talented, but, wow, a lot of her moves come out very sloppy and, like, she takes her time way too much, like, with everything. Like, you could tell things are way too choreographed with a lot of her stuff. And yeah, there's barely any action. It's a lot of just, like, roll around, flip you over, land on your feet, land on your face. Like, it's not really a lot of, like, striking whatsoever. Like, there's no meat and potatoes to it. It's just a lot of hoopla, pretty much.
Wow. Really not impressed with Zelina Vega, Bianca Belair tonight. Don't hold back, Johnny. I mean, good God almighty. I wasn't.
I knew it was going to be this kind of show.
Yeah, wow. I'm usually the one angry on the show. I mean, I didn't really care for that match, but I didn't think it was the worst thing. Like, I thought Tamina and Tegan Nox was probably worse. The finish was, anyways. I mean, that match was not good either.
Yeah.
Bianca winds up beating Zelina Vega. I want to talk about that for a second because that was weird. Zelina comes out earlier in the show. So we start the show with a Sasha Banks promo talking about Bianca Belair and how she's nothing without her. And then Bianca shows up and she's like, Sasha Banks, you don't want credit. You don't want Bianca. You don't want Bianca to shine. You're trying to stop Bianca, and Bianca's all mad, right? And Bianca gets into the ring and Sasha rolls out of the ring. And then Bianca's like, do you want a title match or not? What's going on here, Sasha Banks? And then Zelina Vega shows up, who hasn't won a match since returning from her vacation, which they keep saying she was on vacation for 7 months. She was fired. Are all the people that they fired from NXT tonight on vacation? We're going to get to that, too. Bunch of people fired from NXT a bunch, including Bronson Reed, Bobby Fish, Mercedes Martinez, like some names. All fired from NXT. Very shocking. Or maybe they're just on vacation. That's where Zelina Vega was, according to commentary. Anyways, she shows up. She came back. She took the money, sold her soul to the devil, Vince McMahon. And she hasn't won a match since. They brought her back to bury her. And she's in the full throes of getting buried right now on WWE TV. She was upset that Sasha Banks is getting the title shot instead of her, which, you know, why do you deserve a title shot? You lose everything. And then Bianca's like, all right, I tell you what, I'll wrestle you tonight, Zelina Vega, and Sasha Banks, I'll wrestle you at SummerSlam. So I guess Sasha and Bianca's official for SummerSlam for the SmackDown Women's title, which, yeah, when Sasha beat her up last week, you could tell that was happening.
Right.
They had to take their time and make that official tonight in a promo. And then Zelina is backstage with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, and she's like, Bianca said I could have a title match. How come my match is non-title? And they're like, well, you got to prove yourself. If you can beat Bianca tonight, then you will face the winner of Sasha and Bianca after SummerSlam for the title. Which made a lot of sense because you're not saying, oh, if you could beat Bianca tonight, you'll get a title match in the future. If you beat Bianca tonight, you'll get a title match next week. And then maybe you'll be the one facing Sasha Banks at SummerSlam. They're like, no, I'll tell you what, Zelina, if you could beat Bianca tonight, which, you know, she's the champ, then you get a match with her for the title, you know, after she faces Sasha Banks, you'll face the winner. Made sense. Except Zelina then loses to Bianca. Like, why not set up a challenger? Why even have that stipulation going in? Why do any of that if you're just going to have Bianca 1-2-3 after her finishing move, the KOD, beat Zelina Vega in the middle of the ring? I didn't have so much of a problem with the match itself and what they did. I had a problem with the way they set it up. Like, why? Why not have Zelina be the number one contender? Why not let her win a match? Have Sasha Banks come out. Sasha even came out during the match. She did nothing ringside. Why not have her cost Bianca the match, have Zelina win, and then you actually have Zelina as a potential challenger down the road? She doesn't have to win. She could face her on the SmackDown after SummerSlam and lose the title match immediately, but at least have Zelina waiting in the wings for a couple of weeks as a more credible wrestler than who she is currently, which is somebody that shows up and loses each and every time. Still has not won a match on TV, as far as I know, since she's come back, which is fucked. And now she loses here to Bianca Belair. When, you know, why not have her win tonight, John? I mean, couldn't Sasha have cheated and had Bianca lose to Zelina tonight? Wouldn't that have made more sense? Instead, you know, they have Bianca just win. What was the point of that promo earlier in the night? Just to swerve us for the match? Like, who cares?
Well, that's what also kind of hurt for the match, was just how it was all put together. It's like, they announced it. They had the graphic and everything. It's going to be for the women's title. And then they do the promo, and then it's like, well, it's a contenders match. That's the weirdest way to set that all up, but whatever. They tried to make that make sense. Fine. Okay. No problem with that. But I think the problem is with her winning, because Bianca is more likely not winning at SummerSlam, and they probably don't want to have Sasha against Zelina heel versus heel. It's not going to really work too well. Plus, Zelina's taken a bunch of losses so far. So to have her come back, you know, and win finally against Bianca, who's probably going to lose at SummerSlam, they probably think that was a good idea. Like, it's ridiculous that Zelina's in that situation to begin with. She shouldn't be in that position if she always loses, but that's what they did, because it's ridiculous. A lot of people just walk in and become, like, you know, a contender for whatever reason. You see it in all the other matches, so why not? Zoom tight.
Oh, excuse me. Whew.
Allergies.
Zelina Vega thing. I'm allergic to this bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah. You make a good point, though. Maybe Sasha's going to win the title, and that's why they don't want Zelina as number one contender. But I don't think Sasha is going to win the title.
Well, I feel like it's almost like a lock.
All right, but what if she doesn't?
Well, she'll just keep challenging again, though. Like, you know this isn't going to end either way. So it doesn't even matter. I mean, but I think she will win, though.
Zelina is just not credible at all. I wonder what she's really thinking about signing her contract. I wonder how big those checks are. How much money do you think she's making? Yeah, it's probably good. They got to cut some NXT people to pay Zelina Vega's salary, man. Maybe they have to cut NXT people to re-sign Adam Cole. Bay. That's a thing, too. We'll talk about Adam Cole in a bit.
If you want to talk about the NXT stuff, I mean, we can talk about it. But the way I look at it, I'm not too surprised.
Bronson Reed is surprising. Let me tell you who got released. Bobby Fish, Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas, Ari Sterling, Kona Reeves.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times. Maybe once I've seen him, but okay.
Leon Ruff. I know him. Yeah, he's all right. I'm surprised.
He was in AEW as well.
Huh. Stephon Smith.
Yeah. No, I never saw him.
Zachariah Smith?
Heard of, never saw him.
Tyler Rust?
Again, heard of, never saw.
Asher Hale?
Again, heard, never saw.
Giant Zangier?
Maybe I've seen him wrestle once. Maybe.
He's not Veer Venus or Wanky Shanky, so I don't really care. And Mercedes Martinez. I mean, I know her, right? She was... So, the names that I know are Mercedes Martinez, Bronson Reed, Bobby Fish, and Jake Atlas. And Leon Ruff. I'm surprised about...
It's sad.
Bronson Reed.
With Mercedes.
All right, talk to me about why it's sad about Mercedes.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. Like, last time I saw her, like, she got, like, KO'd legit. And now she gets released. So that's kind of rough if that was the last time you saw her ever in WWE.
What happened
to her?
That's
a rough way to go out. I think she wrestled, I think it was Xia Li. And she took one of those, kicks like Aleister Black or Malakai Black does. And, like, took it legit. And was like, you just saw her go, clunk, out cold. Like, they went for the 1-2, and the ref, stopped it and just, rang the bell because they realized, she was out cold.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So
that's rough if that's the way that her WWE career ended like that.
She's been wrestling for a long time. 40 years old.
She was in Retribution for a little bit.
She was?
I was... Yeah, remember, there was actually her and Mia Yim at first.
I don't remember that. Oh, yeah, they did have two ladies on the team at the beginning, right? Yeah. Okay, that was Mercedes Martinez. Well, I mean, look, she's been in wrestling for a while. She can probably wrestle. I don't know too much about her. I haven't seen her a bunch, but I don't know. It's the kind of thing that happens in WWE, though, right? If they fire a bunch of people. They've been firing a lot of people, though. There's a trend. Like, something's happening. It's weird that they're firing so many people. Bronson Reed is weird, too. He's, 32 years old. Big dude. It looked like they were pushing him. Mm-hmm. He was North American champion at one point in NXT. There was talk that they were going to move him up to the main roster and really do something with him. He was getting good reviews across the board in pro wrestling. People were on the Bronson Reed train. I was starting to get interested in this guy, and I was enjoying what I'd seen from him. What happened there? That's a weird one.
Well, I think what happened was that he had some matches. I think it was on WWE Main Event, pretty much tryout matches for the main roster. And I guess whatever they saw, they didn't like, so. And I think they've also realized, too, instead of having these guys in NXT, forever instead, it's just well, let's just get rid of some of them, because, they already have a large roster in NXT. A lot of guys don't make the show every week. So why do we need all these people?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad point. They don't need everybody. And that's kind of the point I was making when I was talking about Bray Wyatt and his release. Like, you're not buying a ticket to necessarily see Bray Wyatt. You're buying a ticket to see Raw or SmackDown or SummerSlam or WWE or whatever. You know, it's the brand itself. And no one person is bigger than the brand. And if they realize that, you know, maybe these people are costing them more than they are worth or bringing in value-wise, they cut, you know? It happens. But it's business, you know? It's capitalism. It's the system, right? It's WWE is a publicly traded company, and these big corporations, they have an obligation to their shareholders to continue to make a profit. And how do you make profit? Well, you cut people. This is what happens across the board, you know, in a capitalist society, right, John? I mean, this is just the way business works.
Sports teams.
Yeah.
Sports teams, it happens all the time. It's like, you know, some guys get old and it's like, well, they can't skate as well. They can't, like, shoot as well. Well, you're going to get cut and no one's going to pick you up. That's what's going to happen.
That's it. Or somebody is going to pick you up and take a chance on you and sees value in you, right? But sometimes a team doesn't want to keep you around for one reason or another. It's just odd when you see a guy like Bronson Reed. I can't imagine he had a heavy price tag. He comes in and he's fired. You would think there's value in a guy like Bronson Reed. He can't be expensive, and you think that they could do something with him. Yet, released. That's a surprise.
Yeah,
that's more surprising for me than Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is a bit more surprising in that sense, but it seems like the mentality has changed a bit in WWE, where they're going like, you got to be like at least like 30 or younger, and like if you're not, they're not really going to give you much of a chance. It's like, we're going to give you a shot here or there, and if like you're not really what we need right now, then you're kind of expendable at this point.
I'm not sure. Well, Jake Atlas, he's 26 years old. How about him?
Well, I think that's only with some of them. Like a guy with Bronson Reed, like he got the shot on the main roster, right? Like Jake Atlas was just one of the many guys that had an NXT that they just decided to cut. I mean, I think they're getting rid of like 205 pretty much altogether. I mean, it's just bound to happen. It seems like barely anyone's there from 205. I think guys that were supposed to wrestle in 205 tonight got cut. So that feels like that's a slow death right there. And I think, again, they're just realizing they got too many people right now. So they need to get rid of some people.
Yeah, it's there's that, but it's something else, right? It's
well, the shows aren't as good as they used to be. And I think they're realizing with the ratings that people just aren't interested anymore. So things have to get cut eventually, and maybe they're going to have to cut some shows. And if you're going to cut some shows, then you're going to have to get rid of some talent. Like, this is what happens. Like, eventually, like, you know, this happened with WCW a lot, where some of the shows, they just got cut. Saturday Night got cut, Worldwide got cut, and then some talent got cut too. And then they just came down to only, like, Nitro and Thunder, and I think maybe one syndicated show every week, and that was it. So... Maybe WWE at this point, there's going to be some shows that have to be cut. And honestly, I think that's a good thing for WWE. I think there's just way too much programming every week.
Yeah. I think that's true. Main Event, you know, 205 Live, they're doing a lot of stuff. And I could see them wanting to cut some of that stuff. You know? I'm hearing myself when I'm talking to you.
I'm not hearing any echo, so.
I don't know. I'm hearing like a weird... I'm hearing like a weird echo when I'm talking. There you go. I think it's gone now. Is it gone now? Yeah, it's gone now. Okay, good. We fixed it. They have a lot of shows. That makes sense that they have to cut some shows and cut some talent because they don't need that much talent. I mean, they have so many wrestlers. But a lot of companies, you know, they trim the fat when they're up for sale. They're trying to maximize the value of that company.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a possibility there that the WWE is up for sale, that they're trimming a lot of fat, because this is more than, you know, the normal course of business for WWE, more than the average firing, you know?
It does feel like it. It does feel like, I thought we had the WrestleMania like clean out like a couple months ago, and now it's like, well, there's some more cleaning out. And it's like, I don't know, this might be like a record in terms of like how many releases they've done in 1 year. And you can say all you want about like the pandemic and everything, but if anything, they're doing more shows, right? So you would think there'd be less releases, yet here we are.
Why would you think less releases? How are they doing more shows?
Well, they're doing live events again, right? Before they were just doing, you know, we're just doing the Raw, we're doing the SmackDown. But now everyone's working every weekend now.
Yeah.
You think you need more talent for that? No, but I guess not.
No, that's your main roster talent doing the work there.
I thought a lot of the catering guys would actually get some work, but I guess now the catering guys are actually on the show from now on, or they're gone.
Well, that's it. You can't just have people sitting around doing nothing. Why would they pay people to sit around and do nothing? You know, that makes a lot of sense, to cut some people like that. I never understood why they would hire wrestlers and have, like, talented guys just sitting around just to have them. Maybe the days of just hoarding talent are over, and I think that's what they were doing for a long time, just kind of hoarding talent to stop it from going to other wrestling companies or to other places, and now they're just like, eh, it's fine. Let's just keep the talent that we need. Let's just be a little bit lighter on our feet. That's what it seems like. You know, they're trying to trim the fat to either just stay tighter, keep the budgets tighter, or because they are getting ready for a sale.
Well, this is something I tweeted to you, like when you were talking about the releases. Like, they hire new people almost every couple of months. So maybe they just realized we have some new people coming in, and now it's time for some people to move out, because we got to make some room for these people. We got to give them the TV time that these people are taking.
Huh. Who's coming up, though?
Well, you hear a bunch of names. You know, that guy that looks like Brock Lesnar. Well, not everybody. I forget what exact Park or something. Like, he's a big guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's new. Yeah, I mean, look, they have people they want to put on the show, and but I think a sale is possible too. Like, the company might be, they might be shopping the company around, and the fewer contracts they have, like, the less their overhead is to operate and the more valuable they are as a company. They're trying to drive the price up. That's possible, too. Could be trimming the fat. Franco asking, shout out to Franco316, member of the team. He says, who can afford to buy WWE? I mean,
Disney.
Disney. Disney's the first one that people jump out at, right? But, you know, there are big conglomerate companies that could come over and buy WWE. It's possible. There are people with money out there. Saudi Arabia could buy the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine.
They're going back there again soon, by the way.
October.
Yeah.
Crazy. Hey, you want to add value to the company? Take that Saudi money. They don't give a shit. All right? And yeah, NBC, Universal, that whole thing, whoever owns NBC. Who owns NBC these days? Is it...
it's usually, I think it's NBC Universal now, isn't it?
Comcast. Right? I think, yeah. Everything's owned by Comcast. So Comcast could buy WWE, you know?
Yeah, but then Fox, like, because SmackDown's on Fox, I don't know. Like, that might end that then.
For now, I mean, no, they take the contract money from Fox, and then when it's up, they move SmackDown to NBC or whatever, right?
I got like $1 billion for that, though. I wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want that to end if you're WWE.
But if they're getting bought out by, you know, Comcast, they don't give a shit. It's not their company anymore. And then Comcast, you know, they don't care. They have WWE. They own it. Okay, they have on Fox for a few years because it's still the contract. When the contract is up, they move it to NBC. It's very easy to do. Raw's already on the USA Network. That's really what you got to do. I mean, it's not that complicated. It's not out of the realm of possibility for a giant company like Comcast or Disney to buy WWE. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that WWE is setting that up right now by trimming the fat, getting the company ready for a sale. It's possible. There have been rumors for a while about that. I don't know. I hope it's not true. I hope WWE stays in wrestling people's hands forever. But I don't know if Vince is actually going to give the company to Triple H and Stephanie. I think he's starting to have doubts. I don't think he believes in Triple H and Stephanie enough to just give them the company when he dies. So I think he might sell. That's where I'm at now. I think he's going to sell because he doesn't trust his daughter to run it. And really, do we?
No.
So,
I mean,
he's
you
not
don't
wrong.
Watch NXT, and that Triple H's like pet project, and he kind of ruined that, in my opinion. He used to be good, but that has slowly died, sadly.
Yep. Interesting times in pro wrestling. There are rumors as well. I heard this rumor at one point. I think my dad told me this at one point. I don't know where he got it from, but it was a rumor that the Khan family may buy WWE. Imagine that. Fun. Imagine AEW buying WWE. That
I wouldn't
would be,
want that, though.
That would be the biggest sale in the history of wrestling. That would beat WWE buying WCW. That'd be a bigger deal. That'd be the craziest thing to ever happen. And they have billions.
Good, though.
They're rich as fuck. No, I don't think it'd be good either. Yeah. Although, I mean, the dream matches, like the Forbidden Door would be fucking busted wide open. It'd be crazy. Because then all that talent could work with, like, the world of wrestling would become united. Because the only holdout, really, at this point from working with AEW is WWE. You got New Japan, you got Mexico, you got Impact, you got... I mean, Ring of Honor hasn't, but I'm sure they would if AEW wanted to. You know, you have all these companies willing to work together. The only company that's holding out is WWE. If AEW buys WWE, then it's just like, holy shit, imagine WrestleMania, how good that would be. I don't know, man. I could think of worse people buying WWE. Like, how about the Saudi government? The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia buying WWE. I think that would suck. Disney buying WWE. I think that would also suck. But AEW buying WWE? I mean, AEW is currently my favorite wrestling show on a weekly basis. So, I mean, you know, how bad could that be? They are currently doing wrestling better than WWE. For the most part.
Well, my problem with that is, as we saw with how WWE handled buying WCW, and that really didn't last too long when they did that whole merger thing of WWE versus WCW. I mean, something like that should have lasted for years, and when it only lasted, was it even 6 months, maybe five? That was really disappointing. And I just feel like history would repeat itself, sadly, and you wouldn't want that. I mean, maybe you can believe like the AW management would be better, but I mean, sometimes AW story, and you can admit this too, sometimes AW stories are good, and then sometimes it's like you're really scratching your head of like, what the heck am I watching sometimes?
Yeah.
And I feel you'd see a lot of that because they're allowing a lot of the wrestlers to control what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a very bad thing.
You're not wrong. I mean, AEW isn't perfect, but on a weekly basis, you do enjoy Dynamite over Raw or SmackDown, right? And I think most wrestling fans are in that boat these days. Most. Not everybody.
Well, they're trying different things right now, as you've seen, like, last couple of weeks. They're throwing a lot of different things at you right now. And, again, they focus more on wrestling, where WWE shies away from it. So that's what kind of helps them. And they're also kind of, like, being competition, even though, like, we're all like, oh, they're not competition, whatever. I mean, they truly are trying to be competition. And I feel that's what makes wrestling good, is, like, when you have, like, different federations going against each other,
yeah,
trying to outdo each other. That's what's good wrestling.
I agree. Competition is great. I love Vince saying that AEW isn't competition when CM Punk and Daniel Bryan just go there. It's like, hey, man, they could have gone to your company, but they chose not to. If people are leaving your company to go somewhere else, you're competing with them. That's just the facts. Doug Hepper and Franco316 in the chat, TK in the chat. Bob Cote saying, Vince bought a dead company in 2001. AEW and WWE are both alive. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. By the way, how do we not have a Super Chat leader of the night? What's going on? Usually we'd have like a battle going on by now. We're like halfway through the show. We have no Super Chat leader, nothing. Be very easy. I don't think Angelo's around tonight, so it'd be very easy for somebody to steal it from Angelo. A very rare night where you could beat Angelo to the punch. Shout out to Angelo Contagonis, Super Chat Master. That guy. I think he's working tonight. Shout out to Angelo. What's up, Johnny?
People are rejoicing. The restrictions that they can enjoy for now, I guess, perhaps.
What?
Well, I mean, now you're not going to be able to enjoy stuff like non-essential services very soon, so.
What do you mean?
Or is that only in Quebec, I guess, maybe?
What?
Well, I guess a lot of our fans are in Quebec, though.
What are you talking about?
If you don't have your proof for your vaccine, like, you're not going to be able to enjoy non-essential services soon, so.
Really?
You better enjoy it now.
Starting when?
You didn't know about that?
No, I don't.
I'm not sure exactly when that's going to start.
What does that mean?
So
you have to show proof of vaccine, like, everywhere you go? Like, if you want to go get a haircut or something, you got to show proof of vaccine? Is that really happening?
That's happening. Yeah, it's 100% happening.
Really?
Some people are probably getting haircuts now. Yeah.
Huh. So everywhere you go, like, if you're in a public place, for the most part, you'll be around only vaccinated people. What are the non-vaccinated going to do? How are they going to get around and do things? That's tough. That kind of sucks for the non-vaccinated. I'm vaccinated, I mean, it doesn't affect me because I'll be fine. I got my thing. I got the little gimmick. They put it in my hand. So all I got to do is this, and it scans. That's what happens when you get the vaccine, right? No, it's implanted.
Be on your phone too, I think.
No, it's implanted in your hand. When you get the vaccine, the second dose that gets the implantation, did that not come with it? Because all those people on the internet were telling me that I would get some sort of cool implant, and I was really banking on that implant. Did I not get an implant? God damn it. I wanted my Gates implant, baby. That would
have
been great.
You have
very
to be
useful.
Dreaming
Apple Pay on my hand. Bloop.
If you're not dreaming about Microsoft all the time, it didn't work, obviously, so you might have to do it again.
Dang it. Well, I'm an Apple man anyways. Screw you, Bill Gates. I don't use your computers. Although we do for streaming, actually, the show. So God bless you, Bill Gates. Or actually, God bless your ex-wife, because she's single, ready to mingle, and she's got millions and billions of dollars. Shout out to Melinda something. How about the Dave Simon and Melinda Gates Foundation funding PBS.
Why does it be PBS? Like,
no, because you never watch PBS. Everything is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They fund like all of PBS, like every PBS show. Johnny, you're not very cultured, bro. You don't watch PBS, but sometimes I'm watching PBS.
I used to.
I watch Nature. I watch Nature or Nova or one of those shows, you know. And everything's funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Those motherfuckers love PBS. Shout out to Melinda. We love you, Melinda. Johnny's single. You know what I'm saying? Johnny's single and very muscular. I don't know why I'm trying to get with Melinda. Johnny is the single one. You got to get with that Melinda Gates, man. She is, like, loaded. You know? She could buy WWE, make you champion, have you beat Roman. Tremendous. She could buy WWE. Shit. Fucking Bezos might buy WWE. Imagine Amazon buying WWE. That'd be possible. If I were Bezos, I wouldn't go to space. I'd get nauseous going to space. I'd buy WWE. Easy peasy. What are you doing, Bezos? You got like $1 trillion. Buy WWE, man.
Again, we'll wait and see if someone actually buys WWE. They might, again, just be trimming the fat, which I wholeheartedly agree with. I think there's a lot of fat that they needed to cut. So I think it's better to have less talent, to be honest. I mean, this, now you get down to nitty gritty. Like, you guys want guys to really fight for their spots now.
Well, that's what we need, people fighting for their spots. That is good. I like when people are fighting for the spots. You know, I like when people are competitive.
Nervous?
It helps wrestling. I mean, nervous is not good. I don't like nervous. I don't, see, I don't like them when they're nervous for their job. Because when you're nervous for your job, you're scared to say no. You're scared to step out of the line, do the wrong thing, try something that might get you in trouble or might get you over. Right? You don't want to try something because you're scared of getting fired. I don't like that kind of competition. I like the competition where there's a carrot. It's a golden fucking carrot. We are dangling it in front of you. You all better race to get it. We are looking for the best fucking horse to come get this golden carrot. And you get that golden carrot and it is delicious. And you eat forever. And your kids eat forever. And their kids eat forever because you're making bank. I like the competition that Stone Cold and The Rock had to take over, be the number one. I like the competition that Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair have right now. They're not competing to not get fired. They're competing to be the number one talent in the WWE today. They are competing to be the champion of Raw. I like that type of competition. And we're seeing that in certain places, competing for a spot. The problem is, on the men's side, the top spot has been given to Joe Anoa'i, and nothing anybody can do, no matter how over you get, no matter what you do, no matter how good you are, you will never be Roman Reigns, and you will never get the top spot. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, the guys, all they have to do is compete to not get fired, show up enough to, like, hopefully get that next contract and make some money, and they don't decide that they overpaid for me and let me go. No one is competing for the top spot because, you know, no matter how hard you compete, that top spot has already been given to Roman, and you'll never, ever, ever, ever get it. There is no point whatsoever. And that sucks. That really sucks. That the men... And that's why you see a lot of it. It feels like they don't give a shit. It's because there's not that much to try for. They know, like, what's really going to happen here? I'm going to have a little run, and then it'll be back to Roman. I like, at least with the women, they're fighting for a spot. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Sasha's actually younger than Bianca. So she knows over the next few years, they're going to be fighting for those spots. There's real competition there. The women are fighting for spots because they haven't been preordained and given, and it's like, you are the champion, there is only one champion, and you will be the champion forever. That doesn't happen on the women's side. They have to fight. It's more interesting. AEW is interesting because everybody's fighting for a spot because they know that if they're over and they do well and they kick ass, they're going to get booked on top. They're going to do well. They're going to be compensated for their hard work and effort. The WWE has a glass ceiling, and his name is Roman Reigns. And that sucks. I mean, he's fine, he's all well and good, but I don't think he's the best talent that they have. And there are other talents that will never, ever get a spot over him because it's his yard, and that's just the way it is. Vince chose him, and there's nothing you can do about it. Right?
Oh, I don't completely agree with that because, one, like, Charlotte can go out there and, you know, flip the everybody off on pay-per-view and get away with it. Where I'm sure if Liv Morgan does that, you'll see her future endeavor pretty soon after that. So, you know, you talk about, I'm just saying, like, she can take liberties.
She's earned it. She's earned the spot. Okay. She got, you know, when you climb up to that spot, you can take liberties. You can do some shit that you are not supposed to do. And you know what? A lot of times it works. Like the Mankind and the Rock, This Is Your Life segment, one of the highest rated segments in the history of Raw, went way over their time. But the Rock walked backstage and said, yeah, well, it was the fucking best thing on the show. So what are you going to do? And the ratings were through the roof. And, you know, Vince, at the end of the day, was happy. In the moment, was he pissed? Yeah. Did the Rock fucking step out of line and do something he wasn't supposed to do? Yeah. But guess what? It's legendary wrestling television that he created. Charlotte Flair is creating iconic moments. And she's earned that spot because she's shown that she knows what she's doing. And sometimes WWE may disagree with what she does, but it doesn't matter because she has proven to them that she is a valuable commodity who understands the Charlotte Flair character, and she makes it work. They trust her because she's risen to the occasion. And you can say, well, Liv Morgan doesn't get those shots. Have you seen Liv Morgan? Like, honestly, compare Liv Morgan's talent, look, promo, everything to Charlotte Flair. No disrespect to Liv Morgan, but we're talking about a once-in-a-generation talent, and Liv Morgan is just average. She's average. Charlotte Flair is excellent. She's a Hall of Famer. I'd be surprised if Liv Morgan goes into the Hall of Fame. Not because of how they're booked, but because of who they fucking are.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. Just, I know a lot of people would disagree with you on that, but there's a strong following for Liv Morgan. And I just kind of threw that out there as just one person that is kind of like teetering on like mid-card trying to get to the main event status in the women's division. You know, Bianca was able to get through that whole like glass ceiling in a sense. But I feel that's because Sasha really wanted to make it work.
No, there's no glass ceiling. There is no ceiling for the women. If you are good, you will get to the top. Bianca is good. She looks like a champion. She's athletic as fuck. She's got an attitude. Her promos are much better than Liv Morgan's. Are they great? No. But they're much better than Liv Morgan's. She looks much more intimidating than Liv Morgan. And in the ring, she can do way more impressive things. It's not that, you know, sometimes some of them get through because WWE decides. No, it's because sometimes they're talented enough. And that's what I like about the women's division in WWE. Only the strong survive. No one is in a spot that they don't deserve to be in. No one. Like, even Nikki Cross, you could say, oh, I don't like her gimmick and the superhero promos, but tell me she's not a kick-ass wrestler. She deserves it. And somebody like Nikki Cross, imagine somebody like Nikki Cross on the men's side becoming the Universal Champion or WWE Champion. I mean, I know what you're saying. The Miz was champion briefly, but that was a transitional time. It didn't really last, right? And Nikki Cross is actually talented, and Miz, you know. But, well, you know, like an underdog.
I say Finn.
Finn? When was he champion?
He was the first ever Universal Champion.
For like 30 seconds? And that was a long time ago.
That was an injury, though. Like, he was supposed to be, like, a longer reigning champion.
Okay, but Finn came in from NXT at that point and was hot as hell. Nikki Cross has been kind of up and down. They throw this weird superhero underdog gimmick on her, and now she's the champion. Like, that doesn't happen very often in WWE, especially on the men's side. Like, imagine a guy, like, trying to come up with a babyface on Raw. I don't know. You know, Ivar or Otis, you know, or whatever. Like, they could have done that with Otis, but they didn't. But Nikki Cross gets it because on the men's side, there's only so far you can go. But on the women's side, it's more open. And, you know, you are seeing some really talented women have some really good matches. There's some true talents, and they're all at the top. The best ones are at the top, especially right now. You got Charlotte and Rhea and Nikki on Raw wrestling for the belt. They are three of the best in the world. You got Bianca and Sasha on SmackDown. Can't complain. And, you know, before Natty got hurt, Natty and Tamina, tag team champions, like, solid lineup. And you've got so much talent behind that. You've got Toni Storm coming up, who's been on SmackDown. You've got, you know, Zelina Vega or whatever. You've got Shayna. You've got Nia Jax. Like, there is some talent. Bayley is hurt. She's coming back. Becky Lynch is about to come back. Like, jeez. Can you believe all that talent? There's so much talent, and they're all fighting for the spot. Like, what happens when Becky comes back? Where does she fit in? Everybody's a megastar right now. It's amazing. And on the men's side, there just isn't that level of competition. Shout out to TK dropping the super chat. He says, thanks for the show, guys. Thank you, TK. You were the super chat leader until Harold Schneider came in. Dropping a super chat saying, keep it up. Thank you, Harold. Appreciate you, Harold. You are the new super chat leader right now. I just feel like there's way more competition on the women's side, and it's a much more fun side of the WWE. Sasha versus Bianca is official for the SmackDown Women's title at SummerSlam. Edge versus Seth Rollins also made official tonight in a big, long promo. Edge talked and Seth talked from the Tron. Edge called Seth Edge Light. And then Seth accepted his challenge for SummerSlam. Seth also said that he is better than you in every single way, and you know it. Has he been watching MJF? Better than you, and you know it? Like, it's kind of a weird thing to say, no? Did you not think of MJF at that point? Was that just me?
Well, he didn't exactly word it exactly how MJF does it, so...
Well, no, he said, better than you in every single way, and you know it. MJF is just better than you, and you know it. But, like, okay, you add in every single way? I don't know, man. It's pretty close.
It's super close. Like, you question gimmick infringement almost, in a sense. But,
yeah,
you know, that's how they get through little things like that. You know, it's just one line, too. It's kind of ridiculous. He's not going to use it over and over again. Yeah. Well, that's a catchphrase. So.
Oh, you're right.
But
you're right.
They just need one stupid line. And let's face it, Seth Rollins, not exactly the greatest promo in the world, so they kind of need to throw in these good lines every now and then.
A couple weeks ago, he cut a really good promo, but, you know, I guess a broken clock is right twice a day. So that's what happened with Seth, because usually I agree with you. Not a great promo. Tonight,
you shouldn't be cutting promos every week.
No.
Like, right. I know they love to force them down our throats all the time, but we don't need to see these long promos all the time. Just keep them short backstage. That's fine. But long promos, he loses me all the time.
Jey Uso beat Domino Mysterio via pinfall after a top rope splash. Dominic was on the top rope, got distracted by his dad, Rey Mysterio, who was stopping Jimmy Uso from interfering and attacking Dominic. So Rey saved his son, but it still distracted Dominic. And he wound up falling off the top rope, getting hit with a super kick and taking the splash for the pin. Dominic told Rey before the match, I don't need you to come out there and help me. Rey still came out, wound up defending his son against the other Uso, but also distracting his son. Please don't tell me they're going to do like a Dominic turns on Rey thing. Evil Dominic.
Maybe it happens at SummerSlam. Who knows? It'll be the 1 year anniversary of his pay-per-view debut. So who knows? I think it's way too early to start doing that. But I mean, when you keep doing these like rematches after rematches all the time, you got to change it up. And that's the only way they know how to change it up with tag teams is break them up.
Yeah. I don't need to see those two wrestle, but hey, I guess it's all they have left to do. Shinsuke Nakamura beat Apollo Crews by disqualification when Commander Aziz just decided to attack. And that was that.
It was lame.
What's the Intercontinental title match at SummerSlam?
It's probably going to be that.
What happened to Kevin and Sammy?
Kevin was talking about how he was going to take time off, I think a little bit before Money in the Bank, and then he was actually in Money in the Bank. Have we seen him since he took that bump at Money in the Bank?
Yeah, didn't he do that stuff with Baron Corbin? We saw him. We didn't see him last
Oh,
week, but
yeah.
we saw him 2 weeks ago helping Baron Corbin. Remember, Corbin was like really sad, and Kevin Owens gave him money, and then Dolph Ziggler like attacked him and took his money. Or no, Shotzi shot him with the Nerf gun, the tank thing, and then Corbin bumped for it, and Ziggler and Rude took Corbin's money, and then Kevin Owens chased them off with a steel chair, like, "Hey, kids, get off my lawn! Stop hurting my friend Baron Corbin." And that's the last time we saw Kevin Owens, when he was defending Baron Corbin. And then last week, of course, Corbin cost Finn the title shot, so Corbin's back to being evil. A couple weeks ago, we thought Kevin Owens was going to start teaming with Corbin, but that didn't happen. And Sammy, I feel like, wrestled a couple weeks ago too on SmackDown.
A six man, I think.
Yeah. I don't
Or eight
know.
man.
But they weren't there last week or this week.
That's another thing too. Like, it's only a 2 hour show, so not everyone's going to be on the show. But that makes you wonder, maybe there's no plans for them at SummerSlam, so that's why they weren't on the show, because they got nothing for the pay-per-view.
Are they getting released?
I highly doubtful. Like, I think Kevin signed for like, isn't it a 5 year deal like he has?
Yeah, they signed him for big money right when AEW was starting. A lot of the
I think
guys they signed
Sammy's.
for, I'm telling you, man, a lot of the guys they signed for big money when AEW was starting, they're starting to like wonder about. They're like, I don't know, did we need to sign him for this much? I don't know, man. Like, they fired Bray Wyatt. They fired Braun Strowman. They fired a lot of fucking talents. It could be anybody. It could be Randy Orton. Where's Randy? Randy wasn't on Raw this week when he really, really should have been. He was advertised for the show. Like, the Randy thing is still weird to me. He's been like inactive for a long time. We haven't seen Randy in a while. Riddle wrestled Omos, and it really felt like AJ and Omos would just beat down Riddle, and Randy would make the save, setting up a Raw tag team title match at SummerSlam. But that didn't happen. Omos just squashed Riddle in a strange match, and the fans were chanting for Randy, and Randy didn't show, even though he was advertised for the show locally in Chicago. I mean, they could fire Randy. They could fire Bray. They could fire anybody.
I have a feeling they won't fire Randy Orton.
They
I
might.
just don't think.
He's expensive.
I don't. He is, but he's definitely worth it. And I think they'll keep him as long as they possibly can. So
Meh,
I
maybe.
think he's just not on TV because of injury, maybe COVID. Like, there's a good reason why he's not on television. They just won't tell us.
I don't know. He's over 40 and making millions. I'm just saying, you never know with today's WWE. They're letting everybody go.
You're right, though. I mean, it could happen. It's not
That's right.
impossible. It's just like, it's not, I don't think it's a good idea. They shouldn't do it. Randy Orton, in my opinion, is one of the best going today. That'd be a huge loss for WWE if they lost Randy Orton.
Yeah. Sure. Huge gain for AEW, too. Be massive. But
Well, they got way too much gaining right now. I mean, if anything, they gotta, like, maybe not gain so much.
well, they'd have to pick up Randy Orton though. Like, a lot of people you could kind of pass on, but Randy Orton at this point, if WWE released him, like, yeah, you'd have to sign a guy like that. I mean, I'm not even a big Randy Orton fan, but even I recognize, like, he's kind of a big deal and he's still got some years ahead of him. He's worth the price of admission if you're gonna pay for him. Bring him in. If I were AEW and he was available, I mean, you gotta explore the possibility at least.
That Dynamite show is going to turn to a lot of like ex-WWE guys, pretty much. Just pretty much start to finish.
Yeah, well, you still got Kenny in the Bucks. Hangman.
Yeah, you got them at
Darby.
least, sure.
You know, you get your main AEW guys, and then you trim the fat. Like, you replace some of these AEW guys that you never want to see on TV again with some legit WWE guys. Like, if I never see Kip Sabian again, and instead I see Aleister Black, I'm good with that. If I never see, I don't want to bury too many people in AEW here, but, you know, there's some guys in AEW where you're like TH2, like, I know you like Jack Evans and all, but if I saw...
Great match against Pac.
If I saw more Miro and, yeah, I don't watch Dark, but keep him on Dark, you know? Don't put them on Dynamite or Rampage. Like, that should be reserved for main event TV level talent. And some of these other guys that are in AEW, like, there's some filler in AEW on Dynamite even, and you're like, how is this on TV? Like, Griff Garrison, he doesn't need to be wrestling on Dynamite. Maybe once in a while against somebody legit, but, like, The Blade in a singles match.
Well, the thing with The Blade, because they had a story built in for that. Like, yeah. I kind of got that. But I feel like with Griff Garrison, you gotta build for the future. And, like, you shouldn't always, like, have guys that, you know, are just living off, like, what's left in their career. You got to start building with guys that are going to be there for the next, you know, 10 to 20 years.
But you don't have to put on guys that don't really belong on TV yet, that aren't quite fully cooked and ready for prime time. You know, you want to build for the future. You got Darby and MJF and Sammy Guevara. Those guys are young. They'll be in the future. Hangman Page just turned 30. Like, come on. That's the future. Let's chill out with, like, putting everybody that's young on the show. Like, it's not necessary. Let them work out on Dark and Dark Elevation and all that shit until they're ready. Some of these people that show up on AEW are not ready for prime time. Keep them on your under shows and, you know, give us only people that are ready for that main spot. And yes, I agree, build for the future. But they have a lot of young talent that is ready right now. You know, Darby, MJF, Guevara, Santana and Ortiz, goddamn Hangman. Like, there's a lot, you know? Johnny Hungy's like 30. I mean, come on. There's a lot of these people that are well on their way to being superstars in AEW. By the way, did you ever believe that Cody was retiring? Like, get the fuck out of here, Cody. Who are you kidding?
I figured Cody was taking time off, whatever, and they needed a story for that, and that was going to be the story, you know, fine. Because Cody, you know, is doing other things besides wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's better Cody does that. It gives other people the spotlight. So I'm all for that, actually.
But retiring, like, I wasn't buying that.
That's a story.
Yeah, it's fine. I like the Malakai Black. He's good. He's talented in the ring, and I think the gimmick is going somewhere here, unlike in WWE where it was going nowhere. I'm hoping for the best with that guy. I wish him the best.
He's a great talent.
I'm not fully invested in the gimmick and the promos, but I like him, and I hope that it works out. Tegan Nox, who I like, beat Tamina, who I also like. The match was not great, and the finish was even worse. Shotzi Blackheart sitting in her tank shoots a Nerf thing at Tamina. It misses, but distracts her enough to let go of her Samoan drop and get rolled up by Tegan Nox, 1-2-3. Johnny, you were very upset by this, thought it should have been a disqualification. I agree. You can't shoot things into the ring and expect not to get disqualified. Like, that was a little dumb. What the hell?
Well, not just that. Like, the referee, like, just like, oh, what happened there, you know? Like, was clearly looking at it the whole time and knew what was going on and did nothing about it. Didn't, like, give her a warning or anything. Just like, oh, well, there's going to be a pin attempt right here. Got to do that, you know? Like, well, something flying around. Oh, well, whatever. That just looks bad. It just makes it look stupid.
Yep, and it is stupid. They're trying to do a thing for the tag team titles, I think, with Tegan and Shotzi, but Natty's hurt. Hopefully Natty can get back soon. She had surgery on her ankle.
She's on crutches, no?
Yeah. She could be back, though. Crutches don't mean you're out forever. You never know. Street Profits beat the Dirty Dogs, Ziggler and Rude. I thought this was probably match of the night. I don't know what else you could qualify as match of the night. Like, what else was actually good? This was actually good.
Yeah, this was good. The only problem I had with this was that we've seen this so many times. This felt like a repeat pretty much, almost move for move. But besides that, it was fine, though. It was probably the best wrestling match we saw tonight.
Yeah, it was not special in any way. It is something that we've seen many, many times. It felt routine and played out, but it was the best match of the night. And that tells you all you need to know about SmackDown. That match that was just nothing was the best match of the night. I'll tell you, Raw was really good wrestling-wise, John. You didn't see that?
No.
Man.
I like sleeping in on Mondays now. Monday's good for sleeping.
Nia Jax was like bleeding like crazy. You didn't see that?
I saw a photo of that.
It was nuts. And Charlotte and Nikki had a fucking good match, man. Like, it's worth watching. That match, like, you can skip Rhea, Nia, like, if you don't want to, whatever. But Charlotte and Rhea Rip and Nikki Ash there, I'd go out of my way to see. It's good. It was a good match. Finn Balor beats Baron Corbin tonight. Yeah, you'll check it out. I know you will.
Yeah, sometime.
Somebody dropped a super chat. Oh, Doug Hepburn dropped a super chat. He says, Dave and Johnny, best there is, was, and ever will be. Great insight tonight. Thank you, Doug. Enjoying the insight.
Kind of negative, but okay.
What do you mean? Us?
I find the insights kind of negative tonight, but yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, it's usually you try to be balanced a bit, but it's mainly negative tonight.
I don't know. I'm talking about how great Raw was.
Yeah, Raw. I mean, SmackDown. Oof.
Well, I mean,
not a lot of good tonight.
We're telling the truth. It wasn't a very good show, right? I mean, it's not our fault. Doug Hepburn is the new Super Chat leader. All right, Doug. Way to go. Doug out in Kingston. Shout out to Kingston. Shout out to Ontario. Hopefully your COVID measures aren't too crazy, but I know things are getting wild again. Right? I never heard that. The I heard like something about that, but I didn't know. I thought it was like just for if you want to go to a concert or buy a ticket or go on an airplane or something, which I've heard that that's starting to happen in the States too. You know, like if you want to buy a ticket to Madison Square Garden wrestling show, I think you have to prove that you've been vaccinated twice or something. Like that's happening in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it was maybe going to happen here, but I didn't know, like, gyms and stuff. Is that for real? Like, are they going to enforce that?
Yeah. Yep.
Weird.
That's you're okay, so got nothing to worry about.
I know, but, like, what about if you go into, like, a toy store, say?
Yeah, that's, I would say non-essential, no?
Right. Say you want to go to, like, a Toys R Us, which, by the way, I love to go to Toys R Us. Shout out to Toys R Us.
Cheap plug.
Oh, I went to Toys R Us today. I got so much cool shit. You didn't see?
You always get cool stuff.
Oh, my God.
It's not surprising.
I got a Boneyard Undertaker from Toys R Us today. I got a Karrion Kross.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Kind of a man on the cross, but...
Yeah, oh, I got a Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse with Husky the Pig. Huskus.
I'm sure Zev loves that.
He hasn't seen it yet. Anyways, back to the... But here's... I don't understand, like... So, if you go into a Toys R Us, right? They're gonna ask you for proof of vaccine? Like, I don't like having to identify myself in places. Like, that's where it crosses a line with me. Like, I think that everybody should be safe, and I have no problem with it, and that's all good. But the fact that you have to show who you are in a bunch of, like, normal places, that's a little creepy to me. I feel like that's an invasion of privacy. Just the, you know, who are you? What's your name? You get shot today? You know what I mean? Like, what? It's too much. It's too much. What if you want to just slip in, slip out? You got to answer all these questions. It slows the time to get into the store. It makes it difficult for the employees. And it's a little creepy. So I don't know how that's going to work. I don't want to identify myself every time I go into a Toys R Us, man. It's not fun for me. Because then they're going to know I'm in there every day. And it's weird.
Well, welcome to the new normal here.
That sucks.
I didn't say you're going to like it. I'm just saying this is what's happening.
Well, I don't know if that's actually what's happening, if that's really accurate. Franco makes a good point. How about strip clubs? Like, do you really want to identify yourself every time you go into a strip club? And I don't know if you've ever been to a strip club. I have. There's some seedy characters there that I would assume do not want to identify themselves. Huh. Doug Hepburn says, our Toys R Us carries way better stuff than his Toys R Us. He says all they have at his Toys R Us is a rows of Seth Rollins and no AEW figures. AEW figures come and go. Like, they'll be there and then they'll disappear, Doug. If you're ever looking for anything specific, man, hit me up. I'll look for it for you. I'll grab it. I'll send it to you. I'm always in the stores checking things out. But you got to really look, you know. You can't just go every once in a while. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of Seths, a bunch of AJs. But if you go at the right time, if you know when to go, you can find stuff. I got to imagine there's some stuff that gets to Kingston, Ontario. But if you guys are ever looking for anything specific, like wrestling toy-wise, hit me up. I got a lot of stuff, and I got a lot of info on how to get that stuff. I'm a collector. I'm an expert. You want to see The Undertaker? I'll show it to you, baby. It's right over there. I'll show you later.
It's up to you if you want to show it.
No one wants to see it. Nobody wants to see that. Apparently, you just have to show your Wii code. What's a Wii code? Not identify yourself. Yeah, but if I'm showing a medical code, that's still identifying myself in some way, right? Like, if I have to scan a thing that's attached to me and my name, like there's some record somewhere, I'm very paranoid for this shit. I don't want people to know where I am. I mean, I have a phone that tracks me at all times, but that's enough, isn't it? You know, like...
Well, you should have the app, no? If you have the app's tracking you all the time.
What app?
You don't have the COVID app?
Fuck no. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
You crazy? You think I want an app to let the government into my phone so they can track me? Get the fuck out of here. Oh, the QR is anonymous? It better goddamn be anonymous. Even still, I don't want to have to scan a code every time I go into Toys R Us. The fact that
it's
I got
the principle.
The fact I got a Purell my hands like I'm walking to a fucking hospital is enough. Got to wear a mask and Purell my hands like every fucking store is a hospital. I'm double vax, baby. I'm strong. Why I got to wear a mask still? I'm getting annoyed with all this shit. I'm going to keep doing it, and I recommend that we all keep doing it, and I'm going to do my part and all that bullshit, but I can also say that it fucking annoys me. I'm kind of like sick of doing it. Are we not tired of Purelling our hands everywhere we fucking go? Like, it's annoying. I'm doing it. I don't like it, though. There's a lot of this shit. It's all annoying to me. It's all annoying. I see why people don't want to do it. I see why people are like, fuck that, I'm not doing it. But I also am pissed off at those people because the people that are like, I don't want to get vaccinated. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to Purell my hands. I don't want to do any of that shit. It's kind of like, look, man, I get it. I don't want to do it either. I don't want to stop at stop signs, but I fucking do it. Just do your part. You know, there's some shit I don't want to do sometimes. You know, it's fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a red light. Nobody's around. I still stop. I don't want to, but I do it because it's the right thing to fucking do. Okay. Sometimes you just got to do the right thing, even if you don't want to do it. I'm a guy who would reject all those things, but I still do them because I know that it's probably the right thing to do. So it really pisses me off when people are like, no, fuck that. Rules don't apply to me. I'm like, well, come on, man. If rules don't apply to you, they don't apply to me. And they obviously apply to me, so get the fuck out of here, you know? And Doug
Hepburn
says,
part one.
Another U.S. politician who mocked masks and vaccine died of COVID. Yeah, no shit. Also, don't, like, tempt fate, you know? That's another thing. Like, I'm very superstitious. I was a baseball player my whole life, so I'm not religious, but I'm superstitious. You know? I think, like, if I say I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get sick. So I always, you know, you got to knock on wood or something, you know, make sure you don't. You don't want to tempt fate. You don't want to say some shit that might fuck with you in some way. I believe in karma and superstitions. And paranoia.
You know, I really look forward to this rant again tomorrow when you're doing the UFC pay-per-view.
No.
I'm sure this rant will go on.
No, won't happen tomorrow, and you know why it won't happen tomorrow. Because I have certain members of the team where it could get into weird places, and like I'll lose control, and they'll say things that we can't take back, and then YouTube, and you know? Because I'm still like advocating for taking a vaccine and wearing a mask and doing all the right things for COVID. I'm still advocating for all the things that will not get you banned from the internet, right? But some of my friends may not say all the right things. And you know who we're talking about. And it's not who you think.
Well, good luck keeping that under control, because that's a hot topic, obviously, right now. So
whatever. We'll talk about UFC tomorrow. UFC 265, we're going to talk about our main man, Ciryl Gane. We've been talking to you about Le Bon Gamin forever. He's about to become the UFC heavyweight champion. We've been talking this guy up since before he was in the UFC, before he signed on the dotted line to get into the octagon. We told you this man was the truth. We told you this man was the future of the heavyweight division. We told you he was the next champion of the world. And looky, looky, tomorrow night he's going to be the champion when he beats up Derek Lewis. Ringside Report MMA telling you about this shit way before it happens. We tell you about who's going to be the champion before they even come into the UFC sometimes. That's real shit. Finn Balor beat Baron Corbin tonight in the main event. Beat him by pinfall after the coup de grace. Short match, uneventful. Corbin tried apologizing before the match. Finn wasn't having it. Corbin comes out with no music now because, according to Pat McAfee, he can't afford music. Wouldn't the WWE be paying for his music, though? Don't they already have it licensed? Didn't make sense. But Corbin, so pathetic. He's got a mustard stain on his shirt. And he's poor. And he can't pay for his own theme music. I guess he's wrestling for nothing. I don't know what's going on with Corbin. It's a weird gimmick, but it's funny. I kind of like pathetic Corbin. It's kind of funny to me. But it's just so ridiculous that you just can't buy into it. I wish it were more realistic a little bit.
Yeah, I just find it's kind of stupid. Like, just it insults the viewer's intelligence by watching, because like, no wrestler pays for their music. The company pays for all this stuff. So why is this happening?
No reason, because it's stupid. It's a stupid angle. You know? Finn Balor cut a post-match promo. Says he wants a universal title shot against Roman Reigns, and he's willing to go through John Cena to get it. Crowd chants Cena, no Cena. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman come out. Roman says, hey, when you're on my show, keep my name out your mouth. Don't talk about me. I'm Roman Reigns. And then Roman walks away, and Roman throws the microphone at Finn's chest, which Finn doesn't like, and then Roman turns his back, and Finn pushes Roman out of the ring. And then Finn is doing the, like, finger point thing at Roman in the ring. And then Roman walks up to the apron, and the Usos attack Finn from behind. Finn then fights back, though, takes out both Usos. Excuse me.
However.
I like that. I like the way he did it, too, when one Uso was up going for the splash, and Finn tripped the Uso down, and then the Uso did the splash on the other Uso. Like, that was a cool little move. I haven't really seen that before.
Yep.
That was nice, right?
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Finn's really talented, you know? He's a good wrestler. And he looks crazy. Like, how is he that cut? How do you get that cut?
He works out like crazy.
Yeah, like, what the hell? He must diet like crazy, too, right? A lot of that is diet. So cut. Like, his legs are cut. Like, what the fuck? Amazing. Amazing shape. And he's 40 years old, too. Like, good God almighty. God bless him. He just turned 40 not long ago. And he looks, like, insane. He looks better than anybody on the roster. That,
you barely age at all whatsoever. Like, right. You just stay pretty much the same age. Like,
some of these guys, like, make 40 look so goddamn impressive. Like, Cena, Bobby Lashley, Finn Balor. Like, they're so jacked in their 40s. So jacked.
Sheamus,
good God, right? Some of these guys are, like, you know, they're getting up there. I mean, even Randy is in ridiculous shape. These guys, they look incredible, and they're aging, and it doesn't look like they're aging at all. It's really impressive, man. Some of the shape of some of these guys is nuts. Nuts. Anyways, as we marvel at the shape of Finn Balor, he got attacked again by the Usos and Roman Reigns. Roman marches to the ring, took a sling blade, but then the Usos attacked Finn again. They came back at Finn, and Roman hit a Superman punch, and Jay hit a splash, and then Roman threw punches, and then applied his guillotine, and the crowd chanted for Cena, and there was no Cena. Does Finn get a Universal title shot before SummerSlam on SmackDown? Like, what? Is it going to be a triple threat? What's the deal here? He kind of said he's willing to go through John Cena. Is there a chance we see Cena versus Finn before SummerSlam? Like, that match makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Cena stole his title shot. Finn should want revenge. They should have to wrestle for it. But I don't know if we actually see Cena wrestle on TV before SummerSlam. It would be good, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking not. I don't think they'll change the main event either for SummerSlam. They've already advertised it. You know, they have a lot of seats to sell for that one, so I don't see that changing. That's the big match they want. I could see Finn challenging Roman probably for the next pay-per-view afterwards. That makes a lot of sense, and I think that might be it right now, is they're just building Roman for his next feud afterwards.
That makes sense. This is just a setup for the next one, because Cena's a one-shot deal.
And Cena wasn't there, so they had to do something.
Yeah. No, apparently Cena was there. I think he did the dark match.
Well, then that was just a waste, then. If they had Cena, they didn't use him. Like, that was just really dumb. Again, poorly booked show tonight.
No, I've read, I think Sean Ross Sapp, who was the guy who announced all the releases, and I think he also reported that John Cena was there and was not used. That guy's breaking all the news, that guy. Sean Ross Sapp, he's like the new Dave Meltzer. Meltzer used to break all the news, but lately it's just this guy.
Well, you have him, I think, for WWE. You still have Meltzer for AEW. He seems to get all the information for that, so it depends which Fed you're talking about.
Yeah. He does have a lot of that WWE news, though. He was breaking those cuts tonight. Very rare that the WWE would make so many cuts while they have a TV show going on, right? You're making those cuts. You don't want your whole roster there and, like, amped up because they're all wrestling. You got the whole office there. Vince might even be there. I don't know. It's in Tampa. It's possible Vince was at TV tonight. Nevertheless, you still have management people there for a TV show. And then you have a bunch of people on the roster that just found out that a lot of their friends got fired. It's not something they normally do during TV. The timing of it was odd. Like, they were rushing it. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. I think they just felt it's end of the week. Let's just get this out there. People are talking about us anyways right now because we have a TV show going on. This will push us even higher to trend number one. So put it out there. It's true. Like, you laugh, but like, being number one trending, that's huge for WWE. They love that.
That is dark. Imagine. I'm like, well, fuck it. That's trend number one. We got SmackDown going. If we fire a bunch of people during SmackDown, we'll definitely trend number one. And that's the most important thing. Good God.
That's it's a business crazy. In the end. Like,
yeah. But, yeah, I hope you're wrong about that. But I wouldn't put it past them. Can't put anything past them. And
you
finally,
said Vince was evil, not me.
I didn't say he was evil, did I? I mean, he's...
Yeah, you said, like, Zelina Vega went back to the evil Vince.
I said
Vince.
He's... No, the devil Vince.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's... That was a lot better than saying evil.
Yeah, he's God and the devil. It's McMahonism, baby. Vince's religion. Never forget. He beat God in a wrestling match, so I don't know what you would call that, but... You beat God in a wrestling match, I don't know what you would call yourself, but... The devil sounds about right. No? Who else is taking on God? Who else wants to wrestle God? I don't know.
I mean, it was just a light. I mean, it wasn't that impressive.
Vince said it was God, and he beat him, John. So I don't know what you're talking about. They beat God easily. Squash God. Squash match. Adam Cole contract apparently expired. They added a brief extension. There's word that he was possibly even at SmackDown tonight, negotiating a new deal. There's talk that he might show up in AEW, but Adam Cole could be done with WWE and headed to AEW in the next few weeks. I know there's a takeover match he's supposed to work on the 22nd of the month, the night after SummerSlam. He might stick around for that, but he might not. Apparently his contract is done, and he's working without a contract with the WWE. Of course, Britt Baker is his girlfriend, fiance, whatever, wife. I'm not sure. They're, you know, together, have been for a long time. And it's possible that he goes to AEW. He's got a lot of friends there in the Elite. The Bucks and Kenny, very tight with Adam Cole. I could see him going there. I don't really need to see him there. I think he'd be interesting, but I never really got the whole Adam Cole thing. I don't know. This doesn't get me excited like I'm sure it does a lot of Adam Cole fans. Like, what's going to happen? Where's he going to go? I could see him going to AEW. I could see him sticking to WWE. I'm not super excited either way. I kind of think he'd be lost in the shuffle in AEW because there's a lot of guys his size that are a lot like him. A lot of guys his size that wrestle a similar style in AEW. I don't know how much he would stand out.
Well, the way I look at it, like, he's done everything in NXT. And it doesn't feel like they're going to put him on the main roster anytime soon. So, like, I feel like he's accomplished everything he can in WWE.
Yeah.
I think actually going to AEW would be better for him. You know, change of pace. You know, his girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever, like, she's there. So he'll probably be happier there, no? I don't think it's a bad thing if he goes.
I mean, she's on the road, so it might be easier for them to travel together and be together. But if I'm looking at Adam Cole and where I would put him in the landscape of pro wrestling, I'd put him on Raw as a singles wrestler. You say there's you know, nothing left for him to do in WWE. There's nothing left for him to do in NXT. They haven't given him a main roster run. Let's see what he can do. Put him on the main roster and see. And Raw, I think, would be a good place for him. There's upwards mobility on Raw. There's fun opponents on Raw. AJ Styles is on Raw. Matt Riddle's on Raw. Bobby Lashley, I think, would be a fun opponent for Adam Cole. I think there are good matches for Adam Cole on Raw. I would re-sign with WWE and go to Raw, hopefully. You know, try to get myself on the Raw brand because I think that's a spot for him. I think he'd be great on Raw. He'd really help the brand, actually. I'd want to see him on Raw. I think he'd be a bright spot. I'm not so excited to see him do the same old matches in NXT. He's supposed to wrestle like Kyle O'Reilly at TakeOver. Like, again? AEW, I don't see a lot of fun matchups for him in AEW. I could be wrong, but I feel like he's wrestled a lot of those guys already, and a lot of them are very similar to him. I think in on Raw, he'd have a different look, a different style than most of the guys there. He'd be a good fit on Raw. But, you know, who knows? WWE doesn't always do the right thing. I mean, they rarely do the right thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the NXT champions lose it on Raw. So I don't know how well Adam Cole would do on Raw. You know, you say him and Bobby Lashley. That's a squash, man, at this point. And I know Adam Cole, they push him like he's a big star in NXT, but he'd get destroyed by Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. No, you're probably not wrong, but, you know, Adam Cole and Kofi Kingston could have a fun feud, you know? I don't know. There's stuff to do with Adam Cole on Raw. There's stuff you could do with him on Raw. I think there's more you could do with him on Raw from a booking perspective than any other brand, be it SmackDown, NXT, or Dynamite.
Well, the way I look at it, it's like, well, his match against Lashley or his match against Omega, I think he would slide more towards having that match with Omega, I think that would get bigger reactions.
Yeah, but that's not because Adam Cole versus Kenny is more interesting. That's just because Kenny's more interesting. I mean, Goldberg versus Lashley or Goldberg versus Omega? I think Goldberg versus Omega would be more interesting. Anybody versus Kenny Omega is more interesting than anybody versus Bobby Lashley. Me versus Kenny Omega is more interesting than me versus Bobby Lashley. Although I think we'd probably have like a fun little jiu-jitsu MMA style match that I maybe couldn't do with Kenny. I'm not a wrestler, though, and it's a ridiculous concept to even be talking about. But I'm saying, you know, Kenny's more interesting than Bobby Lashley in every single way. I think that's unfair to even say, well, Cole versus Kenny. I mean, yeah, but anybody versus Kenny, you know? But past that, I don't know. I think there's more fun stuff for Adam Cole to do, like Adam Cole versus Kofi or Adam Cole versus Miro or Darby Allin. Like, I'd rather see him wrestle Kofi and Matt Riddle and Damian Priest and Karrion Kross and Keith Lee. Like, there's some guys for him to work on Raw.
Yeah, I think there's some guys for him to work, but I'm not sure if he'd be like the main event or top guy on Raw. In AEW, I actually could see him be a top guy. Or the top guy.
Too small.
On AEW, no way.
Too small to be a top guy in general, as far as I'm concerned. Even in AEW, like, he's smaller than Kenny. He's smaller than Hangman.
Darby Allin's not exactly a tall guy.
Darby Allin isn't the world champion. I mean, yeah, star. Adam Cole could be a star. Yeah, well, Darby Allin needs to put on some size if he's going to be world champion. Also, you know, maybe he doesn't, because Darby Allin, I mean, he's way more fun to watch than Adam Cole in the ring. Like, he's way more fun. Like,
well,
I like Darby.
Size and fun.
Well, okay, but yeah, if you want to compare them, they're roughly the same size. But Darby Allin is actually much more talented, in my opinion. I don't want to offend Adam Cole fans. I know he's got a legion of fans.
Yeah, but
I mean, I like him way more. But yeah, I don't see other guys as a world champion because they're a little too skinny. They need to put on a little weight, both of them. They got no traps. Got to have traps to be a world champion. All right? You got traps. If you got traps, you can hold a belt. No traps, get the fuck out of here. I'm not saying you got to have Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar traps, but you got to have some traps, baby.
I don't know. Besides Rhea Ripley, not a lot of women with like that.
Well, not for women. I'm talking about men world champions. You don't have to have traps if you're a lady. I mean, that's different. But man, like, Kenny's got some traps going, you know? Kenny's not the hugest guy, but he's got a neck on him, you know? Roman's got some traps, I'm saying. Edge, he's older, he's got some traps, baby. You don't have to be, like, super jacked Brock Lesnar, but you gotta have some meat on the bone, pal. A little bit of meat. A little beef, pal. Come on. You know, Daniel Bryan wasn't a huge guy, but he had, like, a, you know, upper body. It's an upper body business. He had traps. He had shoulders.
Came and went.
Yeah, I came and went, but they existed at one point when he was world champion. You know what I mean? You need those things. It's necessary. It's part of the look. It's what it is.
I got to say, though, for his size, though, he's very successful, Adam Cole, and he has a very strong following. And I give him credit. Like, it's not easy to do that, but he's done it. He's found a way to be successful regardless of his size. That's very impressive.
Yeah. No, he's good. And for me, what sticks out about Adam Cole is how charismatic he is. He's very,
a good jerk.
Yeah. He's got great facial expressions. Like, he knows how to carry himself very well. How he walks to the ring and everything. I'm not super excited by his matches, but there's obviously, you know, a good wrestling mind there. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's talented. He's just not my favorite wrestler. You know? He's not going to be my favorite, but He's good. He's good. Doug Hepburn dropping a super chat. He says, congrats to Canada women's soccer team on the gold medal. Congrats to Doug Hepburn.
That was awesome.
You are the super chat leader. I actually watched that this morning, John.
Me too. I was watching it live.
I didn't watch the whole game, obviously, because it started really early. And, I mean, it's soccer, so I... But I watched, say, the last... I'll tell you this. They were in the 90th minute when I started watching. So
I started in overtime, so that's good.
Oh, I saw more of the game than you did. Yeah, they were in the 90th minute, and I saw the extra, the penalty time or injury time, whatever they call it. I saw that. Then I saw the overtimes. And then the shootout. The shootout was bananas, right? And then Canada
Amazing.
Wins in the shootout. I thought they were going to lose. Like, they were down in the shootout. Then they came back.
No, they were up. They were up, then they were down.
Crazy.
Then they got tied.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, it was wild. And then they win a gold medal. Canada women's soccer team. Congratulations. Very cool. Is this the first time that Canada has won a women's soccer gold medal in Olympics? Or I feel like Canada women's soccer is always really good, no? They've been good for a while.
Well, they won two bronze. The thing is, the U.S. were always the best, right?
Ah.
And we usually get beat by the U.S. I think Brazil, beat us one time, too, and knocked us out. So, I mean, this is like a long time coming for a lot of them right now. So, for them to win, this was huge.
I mean, Christine...
I think for a lot of people, this was the highlight of the Olympics.
Christine St. Clair, right? I mean, the fact that I know a women's soccer player's name is big. It shows how big she is in the country, right? She wins a gold medal. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It was nice to see. They were really happy about it. It's nice to see Canada win a gold medal in soccer, which is weird.
Yeah, first time. Yeah.
Like, Canada men's soccer is the shits. They're terrible. Like, Canada men's soccer can't even make the World Cup. Can't make the World Cup. Canada women's soccer win the Olympics.
Though.
I mean, they suck, though. Canada men's soccer is terrible. Canada women's soccer is best in the world. Yeah, but come on,
well,
man. It doesn't make sense.
Canada women's soccer, very good, but, like, you know, to be best, they weren't ranked best in the world.
Oh, no?
Like, they overcame the odds in this kind of sense. Like, the fact that they won. Like, the U.S., again, were heavily favored.
Explain
but
to me this.
Canada was able.
You know how the men's Olympic soccer tournament is bullshit and no one cares? It's all about the World Cup or the Euro, right?
Right.
Is it the same for women's soccer? Like, did Canada win a bullshit tournament, or is this the real deal where they all send their best players? Because I figure they would send their best players.
Yeah,
but there's a women's World Cup too, right?
Yeah.
How does Canada do in that? You know what I mean? Like, what's the more...
It's about the same.
You don't know. You're not a women's soccer expert. But what's the more, like, valued tournament? You know? Because in men's soccer, I know, like, the Olympic tournament means nothing. No one gives a shit. The World Cup, it means everything. But the women, they also have a World Cup, and the women have Olympics. But I feel like Olympics and the World Cup are the same for women, or at least on a similar level. But I think I only get that impression because I'm in Canada and the Canadian women seem to do well for Olympic soccer. I need to know, like, how does it add up? I need a soccer person to explain this to me. It's not that I care that much, though, so it's all right.
Well, what you see for the men's side, it's mainly like amateurs. Where you see with the World Cup, it's more professional.
Yeah.
With the women's, it's wide open, though.
So
which I think is better like that way.
Because France doesn't send their best players to the Olympics. But in the World Cup, it's like a big deal. But but like, does the French women's soccer team, like, do they send their best to the Olympics? Or do they just save them for the World Cup? Like,
well,
did Canada
check with France about that?
Like, did Canada
send their best?
Yeah, but did Canada beat the best of the best, or did they just win a tournament that no one cares about, and that's why we won? Like, does it actually matter? Or does it only matter for us? You know what I mean?
Well, they beat the U.S., which was the best, and the U.S. is always trying to win, you know, gold and everything. I think regardless of them not winning in women's soccer, they're still leading in medals and I think leading in gold. So the U.S. is always trying to win everything. They're always sending their best. Except, I guess, in basketball, they don't seem to care.
Really?
They didn't send their best in basketball. But I guess they've changed it now. Before, remember, they used to – NBA players used to play. Now they don't.
Yeah. Now, I understand the Americans brought their best to this women's soccer tournament, but, like, what about Brazil and, you know, France?
I'm not sure about that. With France, I'm not sure.
Germany. I don't know. I don't know who's a powerhouse in women's soccer and, you know, whatever. That's not my sport. My sport is, you know, combat. I was watching the wrestling. That's what I'm watching. I can't believe Kyle Dake didn't win the gold medal. He won a bronze. But, of course, David Taylor won a gold medal for the USA, and also Gable Steveson. Gable Steveson is the man, by the way. Gable Steveson is a guy, 21 years old, University of Minnesota Golden Gopher. And if that sounds familiar, yes, Brock Lesnar was a Golden Gopher. Shelton Benjamin was a Golden Gopher. And Gable Steveson is a Golden Gopher. And he's also an Olympic gold medalist, winning in the 125-kilo category early this morning in the gold medal match, Gable Steveson. This motherfucker, whoo boy. Brock Lesnar came in. He's helped him train. This guy is like a protege of Brock's. He's been at WWE shows taking pictures with Stephanie McMahon. He's met with Vince. I mean, this guy is a prospect. Triple H was tweeting about him. This is a big deal here, Gable Steveson. He's talked about following in Brock's footsteps, wanting to do WWE and UFC. And he could do it. If you are just hearing about Gable Steveson now, this is one of those guys like Cyril Gane we're telling you about way before he popped. Gable Steveson, I mean, he won an Olympic gold medal today, so you should know about him already. But if you don't, you will hear the name in the future. You will 100% know about Gable Steveson, either in WWE, in UFC, or both. This man is ridiculous. He won a gold medal. He's a 270-pounder doing backflips, spinning through the air. Olympic gold medalist. This guy is a freak athlete. 21 to be able to run through the competition like he did at the Olympics is ridiculous. This guy is legit. Did you hear about this guy winning the gold medal, John? Are you feeling the Gable Steveson buzz? This guy's going to be a mega star in whatever he chooses to do. He might go back to college and try for the Olympics again in 4 years. He'll only be 25. He could win another gold. Or he could take the money now. I don't know. I mean, he could take the money now and maybe even win another gold in another 4 years. But you really got to train hard for the Olympics. Gable Steveson, Olympic freestyle wrestling champion, 125 kilos, won it this morning for the USA. Remember the name Gable Steveson. John, you know about this guy? I was very excited. This is the reason I tuned into the Olympics. I watched all this guy's matches. I was a fan. I'm a fan of this guy. This guy is the man, and we've known it for a while. And he was the pick to win the gold medal. I'm excited. I'm excited to see him.
Cool. I didn't, you know, I saw you tweet about it, but I didn't really look much into it. But there you go. Like, WWE gets rid of people, but they have prospects that are coming up eventually that they could probably use in a couple of years. So, you know, WWE isn't going to die anytime soon if people are worried about WWE.
No, you shouldn't worry when you got guys like Gable Steveson there. There's Gable with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman.
Yeah, he's like mini Roman.
Mini Roman. This guy's huge. This guy's a monster.
He's not as tall as Roman.
I guess not, but maybe that's just the picture. I don't know. Might be how they're framed. He's a big dude. I mean, let me show you a picture of him with Brock Lesnar. And there are many because they've been tight for years. He is a little smaller than Brock, which, I mean, who isn't? There they are. There's Gable and Brock. Young Gable and Brock. There's another picture of Gable and Brock. Minnesota Wrestling, brother. There's Brock giving advice to young Gable Stevenson. Olympic gold medalist, freestyle wrestling, 250-pounder, won the 125-kilo weight class this morning. Heavyweight Olympic champion for the USA. Future of combat sports, either in pro wrestling or in UFC. I don't know where he's going to wind up, but he might be both, and he's going to be a beast. You hadn't heard about this guy before I started tweeting about him today?
Maybe there was another tweet, but I didn't really pay much attention to it.
Yeah.
But you follow Brock Lesnar, you follow his advice, you follow his footsteps, I think he'll be all right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Brock did it all, right? I mean, not only did he do, you know, UFC and WWE, he also did NFL as well. So sky's limits for this guy.
Yeah, 21 years old, already an Olympic champion, as athletic as he is, with the connections he's already made in pro wrestling, and I'm sure the UFC would take a good look at him. He could join up whatever gym and become a top-level mixed martial artist. I have no doubt about it. Very impressed with this guy. I follow amateur wrestling not super closely, but closer than the average person. You know, like I'm not watching all the meets and all the, I don't know who's ranked where in the NC2A and all that stuff, but I know the big players, you know. I know that Kyle Dake beat Jordan Burroughs to take Jordan's spot on the U.S. Olympic team. And Dake, who I've been following for years, this guy was the NC2A Division I national champion all 4 years in college, which is unheard of. That never happens. Four-time national champion, Kyle Dake. When he was in college, he won it all 4 years. That's ridiculous. No one does that. I don't know if anyone's done it except for him. I think somebody might have done it at some point, but like, it's rare as fuck. Kyle Dake is a beast. And he beat Jordan Burroughs, who's an Olympic gold medalist for USA in wrestling, a tremendous wrestler. And he was getting ready to make another Olympic bid and go for the gold again. But Kyle Dake beat him and took the spot on the team. Dake is a great wrestler. He wound up winning bronze. Dave Taylor, not that Dave Taylor, not the British pro wrestler, but an American wrestler, he also won gold for the USA. And Kyle Snyder is another guy to look out for. I believe he's going to be wrestling for gold later tonight, early tomorrow morning. He's another guy to pay attention to. Kyle Snyder. Yeah, he's wrestling Sadulayev. Oh, boy. Yeah. That'll be big. Kyle Snyder is going to be wrestling for the gold in the 97 kilo against Sadulayev, the Russian. That's going to be taking place tomorrow morning. So that's another thing to look out for. And that's what I pay attention to in the Olympics, John. Not soccer. Not people running fast. I don't give a shit how far you can run, how fast you can run, if you can jump over hurdles or you can throw a fucking disc. I don't give a shit if you can skateboard, if you can skeet shoot, or whatever the fuck else you do in the Olympics. If you can wrestle and you're the best at it, I'll pay attention. That's all I care about. The Olympics is the peak of amateur wrestling, and that to me is impressive. That's the most impressive thing that you can do. Be a badass wrestler. I'm a wrestling guy. I like wrestling and Olympic wrestling, freestyle Olympic wrestling. The Greco stuff is not so much, you know, it's the freestyle wrestling. That's what I watch. every time there's Olympics, I'm always tuning in. I'm always following it closely. And unfortunately, it's not the Canadian team that I follow that closely. It's the American team, because those are the guys that I know, and those are the guys that are, you know, they're a powerhouse. They're a powerhouse, and they're fun to watch. That's a dream team. You want to talk about dream team? Fuck basketball. I don't give a shit about basketball. The dream team is the U.S. Olympic wrestling team. They already have two golds. They're probably going to get another one from Kyle Snyder. It's in tough against Sajulayev, but it's possible. Silver or gold there. I mean, they're kicking ass left and right. I don't know if Canada's medaled so far in wrestling. I know that Erica...
I think when women, maybe, no?
Erica Wiebe, who won an Olympic gold medal maybe last time out, she got eliminated early. I don't think we won anything wrestling-wise. A couple women medaled in judo, but I don't think anybody medaled for Canada in wrestling so far. Not freestyle wrestling.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we win. Carol Huynh, she won an Olympic gold medal. Like I said, Erica Wiebe, she won not long ago, like the last Olympics or something. She competed this year, and I think she was eliminated in her first match, and that was it. We are not a powerhouse in wrestling. America is the power. America and, of course, Russia, a lot of the Eastern European countries, Georgia, Russia, Kazakhstan. Very good wrestlers out of that part of the world. Mongolia as well. But Canada, I mean, once in a while we have some special ones, but America is just, you know, they have the infrastructure. Every high school in America has a wrestling program. Every university in America has a wrestling program for the most part. You know, like, they just wrestle more often than we do. We don't do it that much, and that's why we're not that good at it. All our best wrestlers are skating around on ice or something. I don't know what they're doing, but they're not wrestling.
Well, it's the money. It's the main thing. There's more money towards the winter sports than there is the summer sports, sadly. They need for more money towards summer sports.
Yeah, yeah. If I were in charge of things, I'd be investing all our money in fucking wrestling. All right? Wrestling. Kyle Snyder.
Invest a bit in softball. They did pretty good in softball. Should invest more in that.
Who?
The women's softball team. I think they medaled, didn't they? Canada?
I don't know. Who's watching softball?
I thought you like softball.
What do I like softball for? I don't give a shit about softball. They throw a fucking big ball underhanded. I don't give a fuck about that. That's what I care about. Kyle Snyder. Look at this man. That's a man right there. Look at those cauliflower ears, brother. That's a man. Look at the biceps. He's got triceps. He's got traps, baby. 97 kilos. Kyle Snyder going for gold. Good luck to you, sir. God bless you, Kyle Snyder. USA. USA. What can I say, man? I'm Canadian, but I'm a combat sports guy over everything. I don't give a shit about country or any of that stuff. I take fighting over everything. And I like to see good fighters, good combat sports athletes. That's why I watch Olympic wrestling. And there is your lesson on Olympic wrestling from Big Dave. A guy that has wrestled, that loves wrestling, that has been following the sport of Olympic wrestling for a very long time. So there you go. And yes, Bob Cote, Mongolia did cause a ruckus last Olympics in the wrestling. That was a wild scene. I love freestyle wrestling at the Olympics. I love that shit. And it makes me mad that the gold medal matches are at like 5 a.m. It's really annoying because I'm not up for that. I watch the prelim matches and then I don't get to see the gold medal matches. I catch them later on. Oh, well.
Oh, even the soccer today, I was just thinking about it. I'm like, when's soccer on today? It's like, oh, it's already on.
Yeah. Great. The way Gable won the gold medal, too, was ridiculous. He was down 4 points.
Wow.
With like 30 seconds left, and he scored 2 takedowns to win the match. I think it was 4 points. I don't know. He was down, and he scored 2 takedowns in like 20 seconds at the end of the match to win and take gold. Crazy stuff.
That's incredible. Wow.
I'm telling you. Gable Stevenson, legend in the making. Gable Stevenson. And check out Kyle Snyder tomorrow morning if you're up as well. And check us out tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, for the UFC 265 watch-along.
Or later today.
Yeah, whatever. I'll be here with Freddie and AJ watching the UFC pay-per-view live with you. Watching Cyril Gane, our main man, become the UFC heavyweight champion. And, of course, I'm taking full credit for everything good that happens to Cyril Gane, because he was touched by greatness. See, that's me pointing at the future UFC heavyweight champion of the world. AJ's there as well, and Marco Muscles. But that's me. You see me. I'm pointing at the future heavyweight champion, and we will see him become the heavyweight champion tomorrow night at UFC 265. And we will no doubt show that picture over and over again. I could already hear say, Dave, show the picture of us with Cyril. Dave, show the picture. You like my AJ impression? Dave, show the picture.
It's funny. I was going to watch a show last night, but then I saw like the clip that was being shown, like you just rolling your eyes, being upset because AJ was going on about something. I'm like, uh-oh, Dave's mad. Doesn't sound like this is going to be a fun show to watch right now. Maybe later.
No, it was fun. Yeah, AJ and I were
mad?
I mean, yeah, I was annoyed with AJ. AJ was being ridiculous. AJ told me that he read something and then later admitted. I was like giving him facts about John Jones. And then he's like, no, there's new news. There's breaking news about this. You got this wrong. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, look. And he only read a headline. And then if you read the story, it's exactly the info that I was giving him. And he said right. on the show, yeah, I read the story, I read it. And then after the show, he admitted he did not read the story, but he had to save face and say that he had read it because he would look bad had he not read the story and just read the headline. And then I proved him wrong as well. Like, I showed the quote that he was misquoting, like he was all confused. He's giving faulty information. Which is what really bothers me. It's fine. AJ can say whatever he wants and he can have all the opinions that he wants. But part of the reason that we do these shows is to give people information, accurate information. And when AJ is telling me that I'm giving faulty information, when he is the one giving faulty information, it kind of defeats the purpose. So, yeah, I was annoyed.
Explains the eye rolling, yes.
Well, yeah. I'm like, AJ, did you read the story? Yeah, I did. Well, if you had, you would see that what you're saying is wrong. No, you're wrong. I was like, all right, AJ. And then later, after the show, he admitted that he did not read the story. And I'm exposing him now. And I don't care. I'll continue exposing him till the end of time.
Well, he's just going to have to do better work next time. That's it.
Yeah, he's just going to have to read the story and don't interrupt me. When he's fucking completely out to lunch. Anyways, we'll talk about AJ and everything tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time for UFC 265. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you to Doug Hepburn. You are the Super Chat leader of the night. Harold Schneider just dropped the Super Chat saying he's tired. All right, Doug. Harold, we are done. Harold, we are done. Doug, thank you. You are the Super Chat leader. Thank you to Doug and Harold for supporting the show tonight. I think they were the Super Chatters tonight. TK as well. Thank you, TK. Thank you, TK, for the Super Chat. Don't forget to become a member, like Derek John is a member. Franco316 is a member. Doug Hepburn is a member. Harold Schneider is a member.
Okay? Gassy.
Yep, gassy, baby. Become a member of the team, okay? Click join beneath me, the join button. Support the channel. Or it will go away.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, at some point, you know, we do a lot of shows here. Like, I do a lot of shows, and you got to realize at a certain point, I got to figure it out. But that's a different conversation for a different day. Right now, we're all doing fine, and we're all here, and we'll all continue to be here. So, support the channel and join. Join the thing. Also, like it. Just like the shit out of it. If you haven't liked already, I see there's like 20 people watching right now and only 9 likes. I mean, that could change. We could get at least some of the people that are watching have not liked this show. You're watching it and you're not tuning out. So you obviously like it. Why not click the little thumbs up to indicate that you like it? Because it helps us with the algorithm and it gets more people watching the show and more people like it and more people subscribe and things happen and we make money and then we don't have to like work other jobs to support our lives and support the show. And if we have to work other jobs, we don't have as much time or energy to do so many shows. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Read between the lines. All right, John? God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow, 10 p.m. See you tomorrow. I'm back here tomorrow, 10 p.m. for a three-hour show, watching UFC with you. All right? We'll see you then.
Good night.
We'll have a party. Good night.